If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Are you struggling with weight loss? Scared of getting the shot? Golo is a better way to lose weight. No prescriptions or insurance required. Just take one Relief supplement with each meal and follow the Golo for Life plan. Golo's Relief contains 7 natural plants and 3 key minerals to target body fat and combat the stress of dieting. Golo is clinically proven to work and safely and effectively controls sugar cravings and hunger while minimizing muscle loss, so you feel good and inspired to reach your goal weight. Stop going with the latest fad starvation diet. Stop depleting yourself and robbing your body of energy. Start living your best life today. Golo is effective and affordable, so before you consider drastic measures like the fad diets and new weight loss injections with potentially dangerous side effects, including significant muscle loss, learn more about Golo at Golo.com. Again, that's Golo.com. Join the 5 million who have already made the switch to Golo today. Visit Golo.com. That's Golo.com.
More pop from the offense. Yeah. You said at the top of the show, you know, I'd like to see Hurts make some downfield throws that actually get completed. That'd be nice. And just, you know, take some more shots. You know, I think I get it. Like, the other side of being aggressive is maybe you're turning the ball over. But I think that's the, you know, time of year to kind of make your mistakes here and kind of see what you can do there.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Wednesday's edition of Birds 365, joined now by Brandon Lee Gouton, BLG, who was down at practice minicamp yesterday. BLG, welcome to the show, man. How you doing this Wednesday morning?
How's it going, guys?
Good, BLG. I have not been excited by this Eagles offense. Am I wrong? Give me something. Give me something splashy that I missed from yesterday's practice from an offensive perspective.
I don't think it was there, maybe. I think that's a fair point. Like, especially the first team offense. You know, there's been kind of the passes to AJ Brown and Devontae Smith and the variety of, you know, 5, 6, 7 yards a pop, nothing too flashy there. I don't think the offense, especially again, the starters, has been flashy in OTAs. So I struggle to find that moment.
Yeah, there is no splash plays. About I put it about 80%. I'm talking about the first team underneath stuff. They took a couple deep shots, and Kaylee Ringo was all over them. But it's all underneath. Now, do you think that's by design? They're trying to correct. They want the ball. Doug Nussmeier talked about 2.3 seconds. Get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. Not just Jalen, also Kenny Pickett, Tanner McKee. Do you think that's what they're doing, BLG, and B, do you like that?
I think it could be part of it, but I do think, you know, in years past, I've seen Jalen kind of do the same thing at times where the offense looks a little bit more conservative in practice, which kind of goes against what I think his reputation is. Sometimes he does like to push the ball down the field and take shots. I don't think he's super conservative by any means. But sometimes in the practice setting, I feel like we've seen that. And, you know, maybe there's a certain emphasis there. I would like to see the things open up a little bit more and a little bit more of aggressiveness being taken in the practice setting when we're there, especially
The follow up on that, you and I have been, I'm much older than you, but you've been to a lot of OTA practices, a lot of mini camp practices, and especially 7-on-7s. It's, you know, the offense should be successful in 7-on-7s. We usually see some splash plays in every practice from the offense. It ain't there. It's almost bizarre at this point. Nothing mattered. Nothing matters in May and June, let's be honest. But we're not going to be talking about this even in training camp, never mind September. But I am a little bit concerned from that perspective. I go through my notebook every day and I'm looking, all right, because I put asterisks to splash plays. Defense. Nothing from the offense. It's starting to become a problem from my perspective.
Yeah, and naturally, you know, watch them go out and have that be a big theme today.
The overcorrection Eagles, they love that. Yeah.
I'm trying to egg them on.
I wonder, you know, how much of that is just trying to keep guys healthy too. Like, you know, why have AJ Brown try to make like this crazy play downfield when they just, you know, don't want to do that? I don't know. That's kind of just a random speculation on my thought. But I would like to see that. And, you know, because we've seen it more at the backup, certainly, you know, when you're talking about, like, I've seen Kenny Pickett air it out a little bit. I'm not saying that has been super fruitful always. But I feel like, yeah, the willingness to take shots has not been there yet. And yes, it would be nice to see that.
Yeah, so we'll see what they end up doing. The chat has dubbed him Decoy Barkley. They're using a lot of decoys with Saquon
Barkley. Every time he's out there, he's a decoy, PLG.
Something to be concerned about in June? Look, I know it's just June. I don't want to get concerned about anything, but we got to do a show today. And that's what we're seeing from the offense. They paid this guy, you know, pretty good money for a running back role. Is that what his role is going to be? Bell cow back and decoy.
So I remember, you know, Saquon being lined up out wide at least one point yesterday, and they did not throw to him. And I don't know if that has happened since you know, we've watched practices this spring. That sounds about right. Well, that's not true, because he did have the one target where Devin White broke it up, but
no, I meant
from out wide.
Yesterday, zero targets. Yeah, he had the wheel routes. Devin White broke up. Devin was in his hip pocket on the wheel route. Zero targets yesterday, though. Mm. Didn't even attempt to get him the football.
I mean, since he's been here, I don't think Jalen Hurts, that is. I don't think we've seen, you know, like, the proclivity to, you know, target running backs a ton. So, you know, I wonder how much that's part of it, too.
Yeah. I brought that up a lot. I just don't think that's Jalen's default setting. So that's part of it. Now, the defense, I think it's mostly positive. I mean, you know, if it's not Isaiah Rogers in voluntary work, it's Kaylee Ringo yesterday. These young corners are pretty exciting. A lot of upside with all of them. And I think Kaylee Ringo might have the most upside of them all. And absolutely, that's from AJ talking to AJ. AJ thinks he's going to be a great player. Eagles look in pretty good shape long term. I don't know how these guys are going to hit the ground running, but how could you not be excited about those young corners?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, it's every practice, hey, you know, a new guy stepping up. Or at least, you know, Isaiah Rogers really good in OTAs. He had another play on Tuesday as well. But obviously, Kaylee Ringo was the star of the show. And, you know, Keeley's younger than Quinyon Mitchell.
He's 21, man. He's a young guy.
He's really young, and obviously has, like, the size profile, has some of the athletic tools there. So it's a really intriguing thing. We saw him show some promise down the stretch last year when the team was, you know, falling apart. Keely Ringo was probably one of the rare bright spots, or at least in terms of a young player showing some kind of developmental potential last year. So, yeah, really impressive. I like the first, you know, breakup he had against Paris Campbell, where he just went up, had tight coverage already and knocked it away at the catch point. I thought that was a really good effort from Campbell to come back to the ball there and make the play. It was just an even better breakup. And then even when Keely Ringo allowed a catch to AJ Brown later, I mean, that was a catch that AJ had to work for. Like, that was a really tough catch. Yeah. And I think most receivers aren't able to make that catch against him. So even though he gave up the completion, I still thought that was like a really impressive play.
Yeah, so it's pretty good. I honestly think Keely being, he's the one guy to me that almost complicates the room even more. If let's just assume Bradbury's not in there, he's your Eagles' newest safety at this point. But let's just assume he's not a cornerback. You know, you have Quinion Mitchell, who's a first round pick waiting in the wings. They also drafted Cooper DeJean. Isaiah Rogers is there. Darius Slay's still on the roster. Avante Matt, like that's a busy room, even when you're trying to. You know, with no Bradbury, you want to get Quinion on the field, but is Keely going to take the spot? Is Isaiah Rogers going to take the spot? It's a complicated position. I think Howie's got some tough decisions to make in that room this year.
Yeah, and then you have guys, you know, down the depth chart who aren't going to be starting, but have experience in Josh Jobe and Eli Ricks. Yep. So, like, it's a really deep room, which, you know, classic, quote-unquote, good problem to have in terms of figuring it out. We saw, you know, the Eagles have a look on the field yesterday where Slay and Ringo were on the outside, and then you had Maddox in the slot.
Quinion Mitchell. Quinion is sort of a dime, big nickel, dime, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But he was essentially playing the second linebacker position, which was an interesting twist, to say the least. Cooper did that as well.
Yes.
So they're trying to get that versatility, which is interesting and I think very, very helpful. But yeah, they have a ton of, and even Josh Jobe, the special teams, they were working on those backed up punts, BLG. Josh Jobe did a great job on the one rep, and Quinion Mitchell got the screen that for one poor rep. So when people say, oh, who cares about Josh Jobe? You don't want to cut that guy. He is that good on special teams. You want to find a place, but you have so many bodies. Mm. It's difficult. So I bring up that to bring up James Bradbury. What is the plan here? Are they trying to elevate his value, trying to convince somebody else that, oh, look how versatile James Bradbury is? What is Howie doing? Typically, I agree with most of what Howie does. What are we doing? This is all for a day three conditional pick. What's the big deal? Just move on.
It's weird, right? I mean, I was of the mindset, you know, I think I even said that on last week's show, that I thought James Bradbury was going to be here in Philly this week, but wouldn't be practicing, would be sidelined with some kind of, you know, fake kind of injury. So when
he gets hurt, the million conspiracy theories. Yes.
Well, that was my honest impression. And look, I want to be fair to James Bradbury. You know, hopefully he isn't actually hurt and I'm making light of it. But when I saw him go down, probably like the earliest I've ever seen a player go down.
Wow, practice, it was quick. Ever. It was quick, man. Yeah,
I was like, that seems a little kind of convenient to me for all parties involved. Yeah, I don't really know what to fully make of that. And the safety thing, they are light at safety, so like I guess, but also like James Bradbury at his point in his career wants to make a position switch to be like a backup on this team where he's not going to be a starting safety for them, obviously. Yeah. So I don't know. It does seem to me like a little bit of a ruse.
Is that a clear directive from the front office, BLG? I mean, Vic Fangio isn't saying, oh, let's put James Bradbury at safety. He would probably use him at corner if he was allowed.
I honestly don't know what to make of it. I really don't. It seems it seems like a fake thing right now until he's actually out in the field doing it in team drills. I don't really know what is going on here.
Well, from my perspective, and I just talked about a little bit with Josh Jobe. If you're a backup, this is why James can't be a backup at corner.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to help you on special teams. Yeah. The same thing applies at safety. Yeah. If you're a backup safety, you got to play special teams. And he's not playing special teams.
No.
So the whole, it's just crazy to me. Now, offensively, BLG, we saw Mekhi Becton at left guard. Now, Landon Dickerson was not there, excused, so nothing to worry about. However, from my perspective, the fact that they're willing to use him at left guard says they're going to be willing to use him at right guard. Mm. So does this make Tyler Steen's future a little bit more interesting for you?
I think it does. And I don't know if we should read into, you know, the Eagles signing Max Sharping as well as, you know, Tyler Steen not doing well or something. I don't want to be unfair to him, but I mean, they're signing another veteran guard with starting experience to add to the mix with, obviously, Hennessy as a backup. And now you have Mekhi Becton working in here with the starting lineup. The Eagles almost seeming maybe like trying to find a spot for him in the configuration where, you know, last week or last couple weeks, he was at right tackle with no Lane Johnson there. Now he's working at left guard. Jeff Stoutland had talked about not necessarily wanting to rotate guys like they did once upon a time with the Jordan Mailata, Andre Dillard competition at left tackle. Yeah. So maybe this is that version of that, where it's not so much Tyler Steen being rotated in and out every day or every other day at right guard, but rather giving Becton chances to maybe see if he fits in there.
Yeah, it seems like it's guards galore on this team, especially if you're going to move Becton over to guard. I mean, who's the backup tackles if Becton's playing guard?
Well, Becton's the backup tackle.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm saying, let's just say for a second, hypothetically, he does fit guard. He can play guard very well, and he will be a better player than Tyler Steen, and they put him in there. Can Tyler Steen play tackle?
Yeah, he can. Oh, I think
he can. Well, he's the natural tackle.
Right, that's what he was drafted as a tackle, right.
No, well, he's drafted as a guard, but he played left tackle at Vanderbilt, and then he right tackle at Vanderbilt, and then he transferred to Alabama for his final year, he played left tackle. So he played strictly tackle at the college level, but he's got short arms, so you know the NFL, BLG, they're like, oh, he's on. He plays all tackle. And then last year in training camp, he was struggling at tackle. Then they put him at guard. Then they put him at tackle, and he looked much more comfortable.
Yes.
So to me, yeah. But here's the thing. Even if Mekhi Becton, BLG, wins the starting right guard spot, if you never want to say it, but if attrition happens and you lose Lane Johnson or Jordan Mailata, I still think Mekhi Becton kicks out the tackle, and then you would put Tyler Steen at guard. I think that's what Jeff Stoutland would do, even though he doesn't like moving parts. I think Becton's so gifted, I think he would want him out at tackle. That's how I would look at it.
I think long-term, you know, maybe in-game, they don't want to change the two spots. Yeah, maybe put Fred Johnson in or something, but Yeah.
And I think that's the way they would go about it. But it's nice to have that depth. It's almost like having a six man at this point, because I think Becton might be the top backup at every position but center right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I think they're trying to find spots for him. They want him in there more than not.
Yeah. Yeah. And Stout called him a fun player to coach, I think was the exact quote. So he seems to have taken a real liking to Mekhi Becton early in the process. You know, we got two more days, and certainly guys can start to show up, but I'm still concerned about backup receiver behind AJ and Devontae Smith. Somewhat impressed actually by John Ross. I think he's shown some, he looks like an NFL receiver to me. Paris Campbell's been okay. I think Britton Covins been okay, but they won't give him real opportunities. If I say from right now till July 27th, if that's when camp starts, the position they're most likely to address, would you go backup receiver somewhere else?
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's still light at safety, considering, you know, they're using.
Well, they got James Brown.
Well, that's right. Yeah, yeah. How could I forget? I think safety for defense, but if we're talking about offense, yeah, then I think it is receiver. And yeah, I would. It's funny, as you were beginning asking that question, I thought you might be saying, like, you know, what else would you like to see in these remaining 2 days? And it would be, you know, someone stepping up at receiver. Paris Campbell has had some opportunities and targets, and I think, like you said, been fine, but I think it'd be nice to see something more convincing there, either out of him or if it's John Ross continuing to show up and look good. Again, it would help if maybe they took some shots down the field and we could see that. But yeah, I do think it would be nice to see someone kind of running away with that job as opposed to someone just getting it by default.
Yeah, BLG, we got right to the questions when you got on. I want to ask you if, you know, to have the opportunity. Well, did anything stick out to you yesterday that we missed or that we didn't talk about or we didn't ask you about? That, what was your impression walking out of there yesterday?
I mean, the Keeley thing, obviously, you know, that was the big highlight, the big takeaway from he was the star of practice there. I think another thing that...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
You know, kind of been interesting here is on the depth chart, I mean, Zach Bond, Devin White, once again, one of the first team linebackers. And N'Kobe Dean was firmly, at least for the most part, on that second team unit. And that's like a stark contrast from last year when it was like, N'Kobe's the guy, no questions asked. He's our top linebacker. Now, certainly they didn't have a lot of other great linebackers, so it wasn't saying the most. But it's clear to me that, you know, Vic Fangio was not in the building when N'Kobe Dean was drafted. Does not have this allegiance to N'Kobe Dean that the Eagles, were previously showing to him. And that doesn't mean N'Kobe can't, you know, work his way into things and he won't have a role. But right now he's not just being, you know, assumed that he's definitely the guy at linebacker.
Yeah. You know, I'm starting to shift back to N'Kobe because I've been in stages, BLG. I was where you are earlier in the voluntary work. And then when I saw him get back and they started, I said, he's on the second team. So then that's when the antenna set up. I said, maybe he's not penciled in anymore. But then they started mixing him in with the first team. And I'm like, he's not completely healthy. And I'm saying, I think they're going to default back to N'Kobe Dean. And even if Bick doesn't want to, he might get that talking to from Howie Roseman. But we'll see. I think it's interesting. It's becoming more interesting, mainly because they really seem to like Zach Bond at all-ball linebacker. And that's a surprise because I thought he was going to be an edge player. And we talked to Zach and, you know, went about him 15 different ways if he's disappointed because it's, you know, edge rushers want to be edge rushers. They don't want to drop into coverage and do all the stuff those off-ball linebackers have to do. But, you know, he signed a one-year deal, so it's a prove-it type of atmosphere for him anyway. I do think it's far more interesting. Now, with Jeremiah Trotter Jr., these fifth-round picks, I warn people, BLG, there was such excitement about these fifth-round picks. It has not manifested early. Anaya Smith has looked lost. That poor guy, Jeremiah Trotter, remains on the third team. No indication he's getting off it anytime soon. And they're bringing in 17 guards because evidently the captain of the national champions isn't ready to step in like he's John Hanna or, God bless, rest his soul, Larry Allen. Fifth round picks disappointing to you or just normal fifth round picks?
Yeah, I think par for the course. I think people's expectations of rookies are typically higher than they should be just because, you know, it's exciting. You're like, oh, the Eagles drafted these players. You want to get excited about what they can be and their potential. And the thing is, like, you know, the Eagles make those picks with the long term in mind. They're not thinking like this guy in the fifth round is going to be our savior this year. I mean, if someone pops like that, great. That's obviously amazing. It's a bonus. But
in May, too, right? It typically starts like this. And then after May, expectations go down.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm sure their heads are swimming a little bit, getting adjusted to, you know, the NFL, to a new playbook, all of that. And, you know, that's what this time of year has kind of helped, in theory, at least to design to help them with and, you know, give them a taste of everything before they can go away and maybe reset and come back in training camp and really hit it, hit the ground running there at that point. But yeah, you know, I think that's kind of just a cautionary tale of why expectations should be tempered for day three draft picks.
BLG heading back down there today and scheduled to head back down there tomorrow. What are you looking for? What are you looking to see in these next 2 days of minicamp?
More pop from the offense. Like you said at the top of the show, you know, I'd like to see Hurts make some downfield throws that actually get completed. That'd be nice. And just, you know, take some more shots. You know, I think I get it. Like the other side of being aggressive is maybe you're turning the ball over, but I think that's the, you know, time of year to kind of make your mistakes here and kind of see what you can do there. So I'd like to see that. If you're really looking for another little down the depth chart thing here and on the topic of day three rookies, kind of like to see a little bit more out of Will Shipley in this practice setting where I think, you know, in theory,
he hasn't been great either.
He hasn't looked natural to me. And let me know if you feel differently, John. Like he's had a couple catches in the flat and he's like, he looks like herky jerky with it in a way.
He's fighting the football. I've said the same thing. He looks like he's really fighting it. Even when he does catch it, he doesn't look like a natural. Yeah. I've said it before and people get pissed off, but I'm going to say it again for the second time in this show. The Eagles' best receiving back, just pure receiving, remains Kenny Gainwell.
Mm.
Kenny Gainwell is a natural pass catcher. I'm not saying he's a better running back than Saquon Barkley or even Will Shipley, but he is a natural pass catcher. He does not struggle to catch the football. Maybe you wouldn't know it because the Eagles don't utilize it, but you'd probably say the same thing about DeAndre Swift as well, who was a great pass catcher in Detroit, but you never really got to see it. So I'm with you. Will Shipley's been fighting it. At Brandon Gowton, make sure you follow BLG on X, Twitter. He'll be down there again today. You can read his practice observations at bleedinggreennation.com. Does a tremendous job, editor-in-chief there. I'll end it with Doug Nussmeier. I don't know if you paid a lot of attention to Nuss, but he mentioned that 2.3-second rule and sort of backtracked it, almost like he knew, oh, shit, I made a mistake. And then I take that into practice, and I see the quick throws and everything underneath. It's June and I'm not terribly concerned, but I'm starting to get a little bit concerned that this is the philosophy. Mm. And I don't think that philosophy fits this quarterback. Am I taking that too far?
Or maybe even fits like the talent. I mean, part of the appeal, like, I feel like amazing players like AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, again, is like some of their downfield ability and not just, okay, let's get the ball to them, 6 yards, boom, and kind of just station to station, march your way down the field. Obviously, there's a time and place for that kind of operation, but for it to be, the foundation of your offense, I just don't know if you're really maximizing not only the quarterback, but also the receiving talent as well.
Yeah, and I almost wonder, BLJ, and I'm happy John brought that up because I'm sure you remember when you were on our show. I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, but you brought up the time to throw for Jalen Hurts and was something that you wanted to see him be better at this year. And,
yes.
You know, something he kind of took a step backward. And I wonder if the 2.3 thing is like almost an overcorrect, not an overcorrection, but something to drop the average, right? Like if we practice on 2.3, we know we're not going to fall there, but at least we'll get down to maybe 2.8, you know, maybe that's what they're trying to do there. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. We'll see how the offense looks, but it is interesting point, especially coming off of what you said on the show, which was interesting as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do think they're trying to speed up that clock a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Lower the turnovers and probably do some of that. BLG, thanks for joining the show, man. Make sure you guys follow BLG on Twitter at Brandon Galton. Read all his work. One of the best Eagles websites out there, bleedinggreennation.com. BLG, thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bud.
There's BLG joining the show, so we appreciate that. John, just 8 minutes ago left to go here on the show. I'll ask you the same thing I asked BLG. What are you looking to see? And I'm sure your answer might be the same as BLG.
Well, you know, we're watching the same practice, and that's, you know, so you get to see other people who are down there and they're seeing the same thing. So, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of splash plays from the offense. Not that you're needing them, but typically for guys who have covered a lot of NFL practices, typically the offense gets going at some point because everything is skewed towards them in 7-on-7s, and it hasn't happened yet. Hopefully it's going to happen before training camp, and there's two more opportunities. That's it. To want to see something from the offense and want to specifically for the first team, let's be honest. And there was something. Kenny Pickett had a wheel route to Kenny Gainwell. Kenny was wide open, overthrew it. There's been some. The first practice, Kenny was very sharp in, hasn't been as sharp. Tanner McKee was probably the best quarterback day one of minicamp, and that was a bounce back. He had a bad day two of voluntary work. So he kind of bounce back a little bit, but I want to see the first team offense with all this talent. Yeah, I'm not going to overreact,
but hearing that Tanner McKee was the best quarterback is not what I want to hear. I don't want to overreact, but I don't want to hear that.
Well, and remember, he's going against third team. Yeah, the Eagles don't, you know, it's not first team versus third team and all that. So, you know, understand who he's playing with, what he's going against and all that kind of stuff. But, he was a little bit better, and that's why I just brought up the other quarterbacks to point out, I don't really care. I want to see something from the first team offense, and you know, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad day one. AJ, everything they threw to AJ caught. Devontae, everything they threw to Devontae, he caught except for the interception. Which was Reed Blankenship jumping the route and tipping the ball. So it wasn't like they were bad. It was just underwhelming. It was underneath. It was easy throws. It was taking, because remember, the Vic Fangio defense is a bunch of zone. And maybe that's a good thing because they tried to push the ball into those zones, and now at least in practice they're taking the underneath stuff, and maybe that's a good thing long term.
John, how did Devontae Smith look out there from a physical standpoint? I know you're not going to see much on what, you know, his abilities. We know how good of a player he is, but you didn't see him at OTAs. Just any noticeable change? There was a little talk that he put on some weight this offseason.
Yeah, he's a little bit bigger. He's always been. I tweeted a picture of him out there. People, you know, for Abonte, he's ripped Devontae. Get Devontae and Abonte. We talked about
everyone's yesterday. Talking about Jalen Hurts being ripped. I'm like, I don't care if Jalen Hurts is ripped. What does that do for making you a great quarterback? I want you to be a great quarterback. That's it. I don't need you to be ripped, but everybody loves that.
Yeah, I mean, Devontae's always in great shape.
He's one of those guys that he's slender, but like, he fits his slender body, if that makes sense. His slender body's not.
Yeah. He's just got really skinny legs. And from the first time I saw him, he's such a weird body type from the perspective of he's got huge hands, which makes sense because he's great catching the football. And he's got real impressive length for his catching radius, and he just snatches the football out of the air. Very unique body type, but they list him up to 170. They used to list him in the 160s. He's definitely gained a little bit of weight, mainly in the upper body. I don't think he can do anything about those legs. They're so skinny.
Some of that's genetic, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's proven that it doesn't matter, so I'm not going to do that. That was like a rookie year thing. You know, everyone's like, oh, we drafted a guy at 10th overall. He's really small. I get it. I get why we talked
about
it.
And there's more of those guys around. The league is going in that direction.
Yeah, and he's proven it doesn't matter. He can produce at a high level, so I'm not going to get caught up on it. Just a couple minutes left to go in the show. Let's bring up Paul Mancini. He's always a great contributor to the show. He says, poll question, will Devin White be a starter over N'Kobe Dean? We hit this a little earlier in the show. John, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. What do you think?
No, I think N'Kobe Dean, barring injury, everything, will be the starting middle linebacker. I think Devin White is most likely going to be the starting weak side linebacker, but I do think there's a slight chance that Zach Bond could win that job depending on what happens in the summer. But if Devin keeps playing like he's playing right now, he's going to be fine. And he's played well to this point. But I do think N'Kobe Dean is going to be the starting middle linebacker still.
Yeah, so it might turn out to be Zach Bond versus Devin White.
I think ultimately that's what the summer will be. He will be trying to hold up Zach Bond.
Yeah, so we'll see how that works. Zach Bond's, evidently looked pretty good in practice. And Vic Fangio is high on him. So we'll see how it all plays out. Johnny Mac, good show today. I thought we recapped day one as good as you could recap day one. There's nothing we missed, is there?
There is something. Somebody just popped it up. Hassan Reddick is not partaking in Jets offseason. Yeah. So for all those people, well, he's not getting a new contract. No, he wants a new contract. He always wanted a new contract. He's trying to get a new contract with the Jets. He was not playing here under the final year of his deal. So now you're starting to see some of the reasons why Hassan Reddick is not here.
Well, to be fair, I would have paid him what we paid Bryce Huff. Now,
he wanted much more than that. Much more.
What, 20 million, 22 million?
25.
Well, I'd go to 22. I think 22 is fair for a guy that
wanted top. He wanted top of the level. And that's part of the thing. I was talking to a bunch of people behind the scenes yesterday. A lot of it was about Hassan. He wanted a lot of money.
Yeah, so we'll see how it all plays out. I mean, it might turn out there where everyone's criticizing Howie. It might have been a lose the battle to win the war type of situation there where you lose the trade. Or maybe he didn't lose the trade. But it's one of those trades where people were questioning it because you don't get an asset until a couple years down the line. But
yeah, but the people question it. It's not a vacuum. I say it all the time. It's not about one thing. It's not about one thing. It's about a bunch of different things. And it was about Huff. It was about Nolan Smith. It was about the contract. It was about the age. It was about a bunch of different things, not about what Hassan Reddick did for the Eagles in 2022. It's about projecting forward. And that's the trick. And it's not easy. And the Eagles are gambling on getting younger and more cost-effective and having a bigger shelf life with not only Bryce Huff, but also Nolan Smith. But it's not just about one thing by itself. It never is.
Yeah, so good show today, Johnny Mac. One final question. This is a good question. We kind of hit on this. It seems to be quick reads. John, are you seeing any long developing plays from the offense or quick reads? No, right? We've seen all quick reads.
80% quick reads, yeah. A lot, everything underneath. They did, like I said, they took a couple deep shots to John Ross and Paris Campbell. That was about it. Couple seam throws from Tanner McKee. But again, the first team been a lot focus on underneath stuff, getting the football out of Jalen Hurts' hand, and I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll see how, we'll see how they do it all. And Richard Jackson tells me to shut up. Well, Richard, just hit the like button for me, and I'll shut up for you. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. It was a really good show. I thought today we had a great conversation, pretty short, but great conversation with Mike Gill, and then we had awesome intel from BLG. And Johnny Mack, as always, brings the heat. He was down there. He'll be down there again today. So we'll be recapping it on Birds 365 tomorrow. We appreciate you all being here. I think we're at 99 likes. Come on, guys. Help us get up a little bit. So hit that like button on your way out the door. Johnny Mack, great show today. Travel safely down there to NovaCare Complex. And we will talk to you on tomorrow morning's edition of Birds 365.
All right. Sounds good. Day 2 coming up. Everybody stay tuned.
See everybody. Thanks for being here today.